And I find, too, with most industries, when people leave or aren't happy or quit or whatever, it's always some sort of communication-related issue. So at the end of the day, it's maybe more hard than soft.
Right. Yeah, true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I would like to know who got to determine what was a soft skill and what was a hard skill. That's what I want to know.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Car Wash the Podcast. This is the podcast that makes you a better car washer and, yes, friends, a slightly better human being. And today we're going to lean in to both of those things because we're going to be talking about what some would maybe consider a little bit of a soft skill. But we're going to talk today about how you can be a better communicator and how you can have some really concrete examples of how you can be better with your teams, better with your customers, and really be clear in what you say, and get rid of some of that anger, right? You all got some anger. I know it. So, when you're dealing with those customers, sometimes they're frustrating. This is going to be some powerful, powerful stuff to help you get through some of those things. So joining me, I could talk about this with you, but I'm nowhere near as fun. So joining me is Sarita Maben. She's an international keynote speaker, a motivational speaker, communications expert, and author. Sarita, welcome.
Thank you so much, Matt. Good to be here.
So Sarita, I'm a words person, right? Like I think I really believe in the fact that words matter and even little ones. So I'm really excited for this conversation because when I was reading through some of your book, you had some really great examples about how just a few little different word changes would make a giant difference in the outcome. Can you talk to me just a little bit about why we need to be a little careful with the words we use and how we pay attention?
Yeah. I think that one of our biggest challenges is sometimes our tone of voice gets us in trouble. You know, we got to first get that handled. But once we get the tone of voice handled, I think there's a slight adjustment we can make from the blaming tone, which is more like you better, you need to, you should, versus I need you to, I would appreciate. And that's a little bit of a shift from taking responsibility instead of blaming the other person. So I'm a fan of the I and we words.
Yeah, nobody likes to be told what to do, really. I mean, let's be honest. You don't want to hear, you always do this or you never do this. Just, you know, we're all, the reality of it is that as humans, we generally like to help. And so if you can position that message in a helpful way, sure, I'll do it. I'll do that for you. Why not?
Yeah. And you know, and I love the fact that you've mentioned a couple times that we're humans, not just employees and managers and people working. And because I think all of these skills work at home, not just at work. So good thing to mention the human side of it as well.
Well, I can tell you, if I had a dollar for every time I thought I said something to my kids that they clearly did not understand, I'd be a very rich person. We wouldn't be doing this podcast. You know, it's so true because there are times when, you know, you maybe think that you're communicating in a way that's going to be effective. And what you get is just friction, right? Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to help you? You know, if you say, man, you know, you never, what's a good example? You never help me put away the dishes. You never help me fold the laundry. Well, that's a different conversation than if I say, hey, would you guys mind helping me out with the laundry today? Or, hey, yeah, I could really use some help with putting these dishes into the dishwasher.
Yeah. And who doesn't want to help? I mean, when we say to someone, you know, hey, I need your help, that's a lot more powerful than you never help. So, yeah, I think that words like I need your help, I would appreciate, would you be willing to? Those are all on my favorite phrases list.
Sarita, you've got in your book, your latest book, you've got kind of some do's and don'ts. And we've been talking kind of through them and around them a little bit here. I just want to, for the listener, reiterate kind of what these are, right? So it's do take ownership. Don't blame. Do make requests. Don't demand. Do seek solutions. Don't dictate. Can you talk about that last one a little bit? That's the one we haven't really like dialed in on.
Yeah. It's funny you talk about don't dictate, because I grew up as the oldest child, oldest of four. And I remember my two younger sisters and my younger brother, you know, spent our whole childhood saying, you're not the boss of me. and so much of what happens as adults, you know, in our work world, we're trying to get cooperation from people that we aren't always their supervisor. I mean, sure, we have some people that we supervise, but quite often it's a matter of saying, hey, you know, can I get your cooperation? You know, how can we resolve this? You know, what will it take to get your support? So we're not able to dictate, because, you know, who made us the boss? And even when we are the boss, it doesn't go over as well to dictate.
Yeah, I think it's a really good reminder that we're really always kind of in sales mode or in persuasion mode, right? Like, and people aren't going to buy from you, or they're not going to do what you would like them to do if you're demanding and dictating and telling them what to do. But if you can help persuade them and help them see why it's beneficial, that's a different conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's a favorite acronym that some folks may have heard before, WIIFM, you know, which stands for what's in it for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, all my years of studying psychology and counseling, people always say, well, what did you learn? And I said, well, I learned is what makes people tick is what's in it for me. And so the seeking help, the seeking cooperation, asking for support, people are a lot more likely to say, hey, what's in it for me is I'm willing to help. I get a chance to contribute, which is a whole different conversation than when we demand and say, you better do this. Well, you have to do this.
So. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of like eye rolls and angry tone of voice. Yeah. That's what that's going to be. So in the car wash space, right, we've made this transition from kind of a retail service-based business into this subscription model, right? And so the expectations from those customers on how we communicate and what we communicate and how frequently and how clear we are with that have really been evolving, maybe a little faster than we were ready for. Can you give us just some tips and maybe tricks on how we can make sure that when we are communicating out with customers, that we're really being clear and concise and doing it in a way that is helpful as opposed to hurtful?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of our communication, when we're talking about people outside of our little space, is figuring out, you know, what is it that they want?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that your folks are already doing this, you know, asking them what do they want to hear? What do they want to know about? And also keeping in touch regularly. I remember as a new supervisor many years ago, someone on my team said, you know, Sarita, if you don't tell us what's going on, we're going to make some stuff up. and so I feel like when people aren't kept in the loop, whether it be the customer externally or the internal customer, you know, our staff, they make stuff up if we don't keep them posted on a regular basis. So part of the real challenge is staying in communication on a regular basis.
Well, yeah, I love that point, because I think when... If you're on that business side and you're doing that communicating, you're sending out the marketing messages, or you're trying to get people to understand something about your business, oftentimes you get so tired of yourself saying it, but the truth is, like, you haven't said it nearly enough times for that customer for it to click, right? Because they need to hear it over and over and over and over again. It's repetition and consistency. And you're like, man, if I have to say one more time that we have free towels, I'm going to lose it. But you have to. I mean, it's not because you're not the customer, right?
Yeah. Especially when someone says, well, why don't you guys have free towels?
Yeah, right.
You should have free towels. We have free towels. Yeah. We've had free towels for the last 5 years, right. You know, whatever.
We've always had free towels.
God. Yeah. That's the tough one when you want to just say something. I always say we have the evil twin who lives over here saying the things we really want to say. Like, what's your problem? Have you not been paying attention? But of course, we don't want to say that.
So let's
lean into that. I'm happy to say we do have free towels.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Let's lean into that a little bit, because I think this is a scenario that is comes up quite a bit in this industry, right? Because you have a customer interaction. The customer is maybe a little unhappy with something that occurred, and it was maybe your fault. Most of the time it wasn't your fault, and you have to diffuse that somehow. So let's talk about it in kind of like a maybe in an in-person, face-to-face environment first. And then I want to talk about maybe like reviews and that kind of thing too. But, you know, when someone comes at you and they're frustrated and they're trying to tell you, hey, you did this to me and why did you do that? What are some ways that we can like just kind of cool it, and so we can take control of that conversation and make it a positive interaction?
Yeah. You know, one of the best pieces of advice that I received as a young supervisor and served me well is a three-word advice, which is ask for more. You know, when someone comes at you and criticizes, our first instinct is to say, you know, well, here's what happened. And we go into this whole explaining and, you know, rationale, and they don't want to hear any of that. What they want to hear is three words, which is, please tell me more. Or they want to, or we might say, as I love to say, how do you mean?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate? Can you give me an example? You know, tell me your thoughts. So we're really asking, you know, three or four words for them to elaborate and giving them the chance to vent as to what's going on. And it's amazing sometimes what we find out when we give them a chance to share more detail or give some specifics rather than us immediately launching into a defensive posture. I think that's probably the best advice I've ever received for handling negative criticism. And then we can move to what we can do about it.
Yeah, it's really challenging, right? Because you know that you're coming to work that day with whatever's going on. And so you're maybe a little frustrated. Maybe this is the second time that you've had to have this conversation today. But that customer is also coming to your business with all of their stuff, and it's in their back pocket, and they're trying to figure out, you know, maybe they're having a tough time and we don't know. And so I think the challenge is like just being able to have some grace and like give people the benefit of the doubt. It's like, I mean, some people are trying to get you, but most aren't. They're just having a bad day, right? And so if you can model some calm, no matter what, you'll diffuse that situation pretty easily.
I love that choice of words, model some calm, because fighting fire with fire doesn't normally work.
Yeah.
You know, when they're shouting and yelling, we're better off keeping our voice at an even tone or even calming down a little bit. But again, always saying, you know, I'm curious to hear your thoughts,
yeah.
You know, and even meeting them where they are in terms of their pain. You know, I know this is frustrating. This didn't go according to plan. You know, I apologize for the inconvenience. So we do have to kind of take a few steps down instead of escalating to match their angst.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so let's take that then. Let's get into kind of the online environment, right? Because face-to-face is almost the easier way, right? Because everybody gets pretty emboldened when they're behind the keyboard. So how do we make sure that when we're trying to interact or diffuse a situation in a kind of a digital communication format, what are some things we can do to make sure that we don't come at them the same way that they're coming at our business?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting that a lot of what we do online really is similar to what we do in person in terms of the wording, you know, going back to your initial comment about the words. You know, someone comes online and says, you know, you all are incompetent. I can't believe your lack of service. You know, this was a horrible experience. I'm never going back again. You know, all of the rants that might come at us. And to say, you know, we apologize for the inconvenience. You know, we're sorry that your experience wasn't what you hoped. And then even give them a way to vent further. You know, here's an email you can reach out to. Let us know specifically what your concerns are. Rather than getting into this long thread online, because I've seen the rants online and that usually is not productive, but to invite them to reach out to somebody specifically. But again, acknowledging, you know, we're sorry that the experience didn't meet your expectations. And again, tell me more, you know, we want to get more information.
And yeah.
Let's go here and do that.
As much as it feels good to win, it's not about that, right? It's not about winning. This is about just clear communication, being respectful, letting the situation get diffused. Otherwise, you've risked some real some real negative impacts to your business and your reputation.
Yeah. Well, you know, my favorite expression when people do something that's not the best thing is, my favorite expression is, nothing good can come from that. So when someone lashes out online and you lash out back at them, nothing good can come from that. So the best thing, again, is to acknowledge their pain, to empathize, and give them a place where they can reach out and share more details. And I find amazingly the people who've had bad experiences, there's a lot of validity to what they're saying. You know, some things did go wrong, things did not meet their expectation, and then there's some things that we can do to fix that.
So let's go to, when do we know to say something, right? So what are some kind of guide rails to help us figure out, do I engage in this conversation? Do I take it to the next level? How do we decide when it's right? Sarita's answer after the break. Hey, we all know how important growing and retaining membership revenue is today. And with Rinsed, the car wash CRM, you've got a complete toolbox to help make it easier for you to do just that. Rinsed has e-commerce features that help 10x your online sales, and you can convert more leads into paying customers with email and text message marketing campaigns. Pair that with tools to boost customer LTV by 20%, and you've got a pretty stellar solution that integrates directly with all major car wash POS systems. Rinsed, the car wash CRM.
So I have a three-question litmus test that I always like to recommend to decide, you know, to confront or not to confront. That's, we debate about that, confront or not to confront. And I feel like the three key questions to ask, number one is it having some sort of negative effect? You know, a lot of times it's our ego talking and our ego saying, hey, they didn't do it my way, so now I have an issue. Yep. But the question number one is there some negative effect either on the morale, the customer experience, the process? What is the negative effect? And then the second question is it starting to affect my attitude? Mm. You know, sometimes we feel resentful, and some of you may have heard of the definition of resentment. Definition of resentment is taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. So here we are over here going, it's awful, it's miserable. And we're wondering, why are they not dropping over? You know, and they're just sometimes oblivious to the fact that there's a problem. So if our attitude is becoming ugly, we're beginning to get resentful. That would be the second one. And then thirdly, what are the consequences if we don't handle it? Mm-hmm. You know, it's always so sad when good people leave an organization or leave a business or customers are lost because some situation is not handled. And so the big consequence of not confronting is that it has far-reaching effects for other people, customers, and employees alike. So again, is it having a negative effect? Is it affecting my attitude? And what are the consequences of not confronting the situation?
Sarita, what's your take on rewriting emails, right? So if I get fired up about something and I am ready to just blast off an email to my vendor or somebody like that, how do you make sure that you say things in a nice way?
Yeah. And I think email, sometimes we do need a timeout. You know, it might literally be, you know, go off and go to lunch and then come back and then take a look at what we've written. But the rules still apply. It's still the taking responsibility. You know, I would appreciate, I'm concerned, you know, how can we resolve this? That type of wording versus, you know, you better, you never, you didn't, you always, mm-hmm. you know, that same shift from the pointing the finger and blaming, shifting to taking responsibility for our own concerns.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I like to do, because, you know, I'm in the communication space. And so for me, like, writing and communicating is kind of cathartic. So I like to get those things out. But I learned a long time ago to not actually write it in the email. Like, if I want to write it, okay, like, open up a Word document or write it on a piece of paper, or, you know, open up a note on my phone and like tap out what I'm actually like thinking and get it out. Because it's always that kind of second pass when you're like, okay, it's not as bad as I thought it was. I'm not really that mad. I've had some time to like self-reflect. Now I can go write the message that's meaningful, and I can like not have this other message that's sitting out there that's so negative. And honestly, it saves you from accidentally hitting send. It just saves you.
Yeah. And you know, I've had to do this thing where I take the person's name out so that there's no send to.
Yep.
So it won't inadvertently get sent, because that's like the worst case scenario. But I like your idea of just doing it in a separate document. So there's no chance of it going anywhere. But you said something that made me think, which is the whole notion of figuring out what is it I'm trying to accomplish with this email. Yep. Because initially that first pass, as you say, might just be to vent.
Yep.
But then after we come back to it, we might say, okay, well, what outcome am I wanting, you know, when I send this? Because just sending an email to vent is, again, nothing good can come from that. But sending an email with a specific outcome in mind, that might be the guiding principle, if you will, for sending.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, if, you know, let's say you've got maybe it's your technology provider for your business is just not up to snuff. You know, it's one thing to fire off something that's like, gosh, you know, you guys just are really leaving me in a lurch. I can't get the support I want. I keep instead of saying, you could just say, well, okay, what do I really need? I need better support. Okay, so how can I ask for that in a meaningful way? Hey, How might we be able to improve our customer service response times when we have an issue with insert provider name, right? Yep. So that's a different conversation. That feels like that is giving you some kind of solution focused attempt to get what you need instead of just throwing venom out
and
there.
It kind of reminds me of an expression my mother used to use, that you can catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
Yeah.
and I always thought that was kind of a quirky expression, but when I think about it, it's like, you're more likely to get a positive response if you do it in a good way versus a nasty way.
I also noticed, Sarita, that you are a fan of acronyms. I love a good acronym, and you've got one in your book called CARE. Can you just kind of walk through that for us?
Yeah, and that, ironically, that acronym, and only a motivational speaker would do this, have an experience that was wonderful, run back and write a blog about it, and then put it in the book. That whole acronym came about when I was a customer stranded in the airport trying to get home, and was so impressed by how the ticket agents responded that I had to create the acronym. And the C, of course, is for consultative. Instead of doing stuff to us, they did things with us. How can we resolve this? Let's see what we can do to get you on another flight. And so they were very much like work together in their approach. And then, of course, the A is attentive. They were making sure, you need anything, circling back to make sure we were okay. And I think we need to do that with our customers, to make sure they have everything they need, double check and being attentive. And the R, of course, is for results. At the end of the day, you can be as attentive as you want and consultative, but if you don't get the results, it's all for naught. And then, of course, the E is empathy. Can you feel their pain? I loved when these particular folks says, I know this is not how you thought your day would go. I know this has got to be frustrating. It's like they were saying exactly what I was feeling. And that was pretty powerful. So again, C for consultative, A for attentive, R for results, and E, which is the big E, empathy. Yeah.
It's
goes
so
a long way.
Yeah. The piece that you just said that I think is so telling is just the piece of being able to say what the customer is experiencing, because there's no response to that. Hey, I know this isn't how you wanted this day to go. Yeah, you're right. It's not. Okay, that's it. That's the end of the conversation.
Yeah, you're right. And it pretty much neutralizes and diffuses the situation, because once people feel heard, then it becomes a we versus me against you. And that's really, I think that's really what we want to achieve in any interaction, whether it be at home or with our customers or even with our colleagues.
Yeah, I love that. It reminded me of you had a good airline experience. I had a pretty terrible airline experience that consequently has, I've got a group on my no fly list, right? Like I'm not going to fly them ever again, because we were having some problems and we've gotten split up from the family on a flight. And as we're coming up to the door, they shut the door and nobody from the ticket desk even looked up. Like it was me and me and my oldest daughter were bustling up there with our bags. The rest of our family's on the flight. We can see the plane right there. They had just shut the door. The plane sat there for another 45 minutes. Then they wouldn't let us on. Then nobody looked up at us. Nobody interacted with us. So, I got frustrated. I was the angry customer and I proceeded to come at them pretty aggressively, and they just never really looked up. And so I turned around and we walked away. And after I finally took my own time out, my 14-year-old was like, "Dad, you weren't very nice." I said, no, you're right. I wasn't very nice. I said, but that all could have been avoided if they had just looked up at us when we came up and said, "Hey, how can we help?"
Yep.
It would have changed the whole conversation.
That's right. And it's so sad that, a customer is lost and all of their future spending and dollars and revenue, forever and ever over that one interaction. The effects are so far reaching.
Yeah, but you gotta watch out. Your brand is very fragile sometimes. It's very fragile.
Yeah.
Well, Sarita, I've got one last question that I ask everybody. And so I'm gonna ask it because I didn't tell you what it was. I'm going to ask it and then I'm going to blabber for a minute. So you have a minute to think about it.
Give me a chance to think of an answer, right?
So I always like to ask, because I like to give people at least one key takeaway every time, one thing. And you know, at the top of this, I said this show is about being a better car washer and a slightly better human being. I want to know, what is one thing that I can do today to make me better tomorrow? And that can be car washing specific. It can be human stuff. It could be, I need to read more books. I need to floss my teeth more frequently. Whatever it is, you can take it whatever direction you want. One thing today to make me better tomorrow.
Ah, I love it. I think the word that comes to mind is grace.
Yeah.
You know, I think in this last few years have been a good reminder that people are just trying to get through the day. And if we can give people some grace instead of immediately assuming the worst, I think that will go a long way to affect everything we do and say as a result of that.
I love that one. I love grace. I mean, I will be the first to admit that I did not give a lot of that prior to the pandemic. And you're right. It was a kind of a transformational time, and remembering that we are all humans. We're all in this thing together. There's no reason for us to think that anybody's got any ill intent toward us.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, Sarita, thank you so much for joining us today. I really, like I said, this is a really important conversation, I think, for the folks in this car wash industry as the kind of evolution of this industry continues. Thanks again for joining us.
All right. Thank you for having me. It's been a great conversation.
Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast, your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Car Wash Magazine Editor-in-Chief, Matt DeWolf.